This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
We're going to talk to Chris Perkins now. We're going to switch gears, talk a little football. Football has been very, very good to me. So I will be Orlando Escuela today. That's an old reference for some of you out there. Only a couple of you probably got that Orlando Escuela thing, because it's usually Chico. Let's talk to Chris Perkins. He does an excellent job for The Athletic, covering the Miami Dolphins on a daily basis. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Perk. Let's bring him aboard. Perk, how you doing, my man? You doing all right?
Big O, I'm doing good, man. All is good because there's some actual interest in a Dolphins game this week, man.
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about, how funny how things have turned, right? There was this hope for Manny Diaz that he's going to turn the program around. He's inspiring everybody. Then, meanwhile, we're looking at the Dolphins, roster's depleted, new coach. Oh, it's another apple that falls from the rotten Belichick tree. Can't expect anything. 5 weeks in, the Canes can't win a game now. They look so dysfunctional. The Dolphins are actually gotten better every single week, to the point that now, instead of 0-16, people are thinking that they actually have a shot this week. It's really amazing how one side has turned one way and all the other side here in Davie has turned the other way, and there is actually some positive air this week. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is, man. If you watch sports long enough, even just from week to week, not even year to year,
right,
stuff turns so fast that you're just like, what in the world just happened here? That's what we got in town. That's exactly what we got in town. I didn't think it was going to turn like this, mostly because of the hurricane. I thought they were going to be a little bit more consistent, although, if I'm not mistaken, I kept saying last year that it's more the defense. Everybody kept saying, well, it's the quarterback and it's even the punter. And that defense, if I'm not mistaken, they allowed 150 rushing yards per game in ACC games. And now you've got Manny Diaz taking over, and you see what the defense is. So, you know, that's the way it goes.
No, I'm with you there. Now you look at did we really have to come out and say that Josh Rosen's a starter for the rest of the year? That was kind of like the known. Why did we have to go there? I'm just wondering.
Because before, every time Flores talked about the quarterback, he said, for now. For now. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick for now. It's Josh Rosen for now. You figured when the change was made that it was permanent, but it was just kind of a let's get this on the record type thing. And so that's what happened. And look, I'll tell you, Big O, I wrote today that I really think that Josh Rosen is a likable guy. I'm pulling for him. I was very skeptical at the start because during training camp and early in the season, he kept saying, I'm not competing against Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm just trying to get better every day. And when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, you better wake up. You are competing against Fitzpatrick. But as I listened and he stayed on message, I was like, okay, now I get it. That's not just something to say. That's actually who he is. And he does have some depth to him, and he's got a sense of humor. He's got some awareness. He crewed, of course, because they're drafting a quarterback in the first round, right? The kid is crewed. But I kind of like him because he's been in a bad situation in two spots now, and that makes me kind of pull for him. Even though there's almost no way he's your starter for this team next year.
And I'll give you something else, Perk. All the stuff that they talked about him, I have yet to see it. I don't see any of that. I see
I agree 100%.
I see what seems like a pretty good dude. He plays with moxie. He fights to the end of every play. He's gotten better every week. And I was just talking about this before you came on the air. Everybody's, talking about Kershaw this, Kershaw that. He failed here, failed there. I walked away last night with so much respect for him because of the way he handled the adversity in the press conference at the end of the game. I thought that was so enormous because you and I have been in many locker rooms, and we've seen plenty of guys that don't know how to handle the worst moments in their career, and he was amazing. And that's why I go over to Rosen again, because you just talked about it at the beginning of this interview. He's had had two terrible situations. I don't see him point fingers. I don't see him blame anybody else. I just see him shut his mouth up and try to do the best he can week in and week out. I got nothing but respect for Josh Rosen.
Yeah, you know what? And one thing that he said yesterday, Big O, that really made me know that this guy is aware of what's going on is he said, I don't get into the politics of football anymore. And that told me he understood what was going on with his tank job and the rebuild and the Dolphins fans at least wanting Tua. That's the politics of football, right? That you're trying to sell hope to these fans. You're trying to sell tickets. You're trying to get the best quarterback you can. There's nothing that Josh Rosen can do about that. That's the politics. That's the owner. That's the GM. That's these people. He knows that he's kind of screwed, for lack of a better term, but I thought that showed great awareness. And he also referenced, his comment, and he referenced this with a smile, that he doesn't get into the politics of football ever since he made the statement that there were 9 mistakes in front of him. And you remember he was drafted number 10, and he said there were 9 mistakes in front of me. But I thought that showed maturity, growth, awareness, a lot of things that, you know, we heard that Josh was an entitled rich kid who never had to fight for anything in his life. He's had to fight for this starting job with Ryan Fitzpatrick and everything like that. And I think he's done a pretty good job. I will say this also, Big O. I don't think that Flores likes Josh Rosen. And every time he mentions Rosen, there's some kind of little needle about something that he does wrong. It happened again yesterday where he was announcing him as the starter, and then Flores says, you know, I wish he would get rid of the ball and not take as many sacks, but we'll work on that. And I was just like, dude, can't you just
Perk. I disagree with you on this. I think he's just being a hard ass. And hard asses ride you no matter what every single moment because they care, because they want you to get better, because they believe in you. And all of that. It's not really because he doesn't, I don't believe it's that he doesn't like Rosen. I just think he doesn't want Rosen to ever get comfortable because he's too young to get comfortable. If let's say it works out and he becomes the guy, 5 years from now, you'll never hear those kind of things from Flores because he's earned his stripes and he's there. I think he's just ball busting right now. And I think he's just keeping the youngster in check. And he wants him to know that he is going to, you know, be on top of him for everything until he crosses that threshold that says, okay, you've earned it, that kind of stuff.
Well, I understand, but I don't hear him nitpick as much with Christian Wilkins, Michael Dieter, Mike Gesicki, Xavier Howard, Bobby McCain, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You go through guys at all positions of all ages, and they don't get the needle
He thoroughly embarrassed Christian Wilkins in front of everybody. He hasn't done that to Josh Rosen. He got Christian Wilkins and ripped him a new one coming off the field when he slammed the guy. He's never even done that. And then after, in the press conference with you guys, he goes, I do that because I care about the kid. I want him to succeed. And then he, you know, because he's going to ride him. I think he's just old school, man. I think he's like my dad. I think he's like my coaches that I grew up with, the ones that the millennials can't handle nowadays. That's all it is.
Right.
I mean, I had a PE coach that used to say, you damn Cubans, go over there and sit by the tree. You know, it was just one of those deals. Right. And I knew he was just being a hard ass. It wasn't really that he was a bad dude. It was just he was kind of twisted in the way he did things.
Wilkins and Flo have an interesting relationship because they give crap to each other. There's a back and forth there. Now the penalty was a serious, you know, Flores was serious about that. But they kind of go back and forth with each other. I just haven't seen Flo give a whole lot of serious credit to Rosen, where there wasn't some kind of addendum attached to it, some kind of, you know, but he needs to get better at this. That's all. And look, this isn't Flores' quarterback, so I understand, but I really don't think that he likes him. I think that he probably thinks that he was forced on him, and, you know, he's just going to kind of make the best of it. They'll have a new quarterback next year. But I don't think that he hates him, but I don't think that he likes him. I don't think he sees any much of a starting future with him.
How's the challenge been for you to cover this? to ask about all of this stuff every single day, that it's usually never positive. It's really, I mean, you were talking about all the noise that Josh Rosen has to deal with and how he puts it away, yet it was your question, because I heard the press conference yesterday when you asked him about, your job isn't necessarily secured here. You know, they might be drafting a guy next year. How do you handle all of that? You know what I mean? So you got to do all those kind of things. How, see, that's the thing, Perk. People, I've done your job, so people don't realize. Yep. They just think that you guys are just being jerks, but it's not that. It's just you have no choice. That's all there is to talk about. How brutal has that been?
It's been rough, Owen. Yeah, I know I've seen you in locker rooms for the Heat and for the Dolphins for many years, and you've been with bad teams and good teams. The big challenge for me with this team right now, Owen, is there's not a whole lot positive going on. And usually when you're a quarter of the way into the season, there's some rookie that is playing better than you thought, or there's some undrafted free agent who has come out of nowhere and he's surprising people, or some unit is playing better than you thought, and there's really none of that. You know, Preston Williams has done okay. I say that Christian Wilkins, and I might have said this before when I was on with you, it's kind of tough to tell with him to me, because he's gone up against two probable Hall of Famers, right? And right guard Marshall Yanda from the Ravens, and then a right guard Zach Martin from Dallas. So he's had a rough start. You know, Dieter has been so-so, but nobody has really stood out as, this guy is off to a hot start and I can see good stuff, or this unit is off to a hot start. It's been pretty, Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't play well. He was up and down. Josh Rosen, Devontae Parker, we've been down that road before, right? Albert Wilson has barely been on the field, and you just keep going down the list, and there's just not a whole lot of positive, uplifting things to ask about. Heck, even Jason Sanders is 4 of 7 on field goal attempts, right? So that's been the big thing. And that's, there's a lot of fun to be had, and there are a lot of interesting things. Like, look, I was just in there talking to Isaiah Prince, right, the rookie right tackle for the Dolphins. He came from Ohio State, and I was just talking to him about it. I walked up, and I was like, so how good is Chase Young? You know, the defensive end who's going to be the number one or two pick of the draft. And he was like, oh, that dude is serious. I was like, compare him to the Bosa's. And he was like, well, I blocked all three. I blocked Joey, I blocked Nick, and I blocked Chase Young. And so there's stuff like that you can talk to them about. But, human stuff that you would talk to them, whether this team was winning or losing. But, as far as, like, positive stuff, it's really tough to find positive stuff right now to write about.
No, I get you. And by the way, that was one of them. Isaiah actually had a nice little game the last outing. And so I'm actually looking for. See, to me, I'm having fun with this season because I'm a draft Nick. I love the fact that they tore it all the way down to rebuild this whole thing. So now I'm excited to watch the young guys that are developing, then whatever draft comes in. So to me, I'm going to enjoy this process. I'm all for this process of the way they've torn this down. I don't look at it like tanking. I think people don't understand the definition of tanking. Tanking is the Miami Marlins. Tanking is when you don't try to win year in and year out. This is a team that just reset their entire franchise. That's what they have to do. In a regular corporation, you get to fire this manager, 16 assistant managers, 4 corporate managers, and then get those salaries to rehire everybody. In football, you can't do that. You got to take a salary cap hit. You got to reset. You got to wait a whole year to get that money back again. That's what they're going to do. That's the way they're doing things. It's different than corporate America. In corporate America, you can replace somebody with the same salary you just got rid of them. In football, you can't. Unfortunately, there are penalties. So for me, I enjoy this process, Perk. I think this is the right way to tear it all down, to rebuild it from scratch and build it in your vision instead of trying to implement your vision in the way of overcoming hurdle after hurdle after hurdle and trying to fix the problem. This is fixing the problem in one fell swoop.
Yeah, this is, look, the only problem that I've had with this whole thing, I was on board with everything they were doing up until Tunsil and Fitzpatrick, and we've talked about that. I understand the reasons for it. You don't need to get bogged down in that.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not against it, you know, philosophically at all, and they're cleaning up their salary cap. You know, I think they're still paying Ndamukong Suh. I think he's part of their dead money.
Yes.
So, or not still paying him, but he's part of their dead money. But, yeah, so I don't have a big problem with that. You know, and when you talk about the process and watching these guys improve, I agree with you there, too. Like, yeah, is Isaiah Prince going to be a player? Is Dieter? Is Wilkins going to be a player? Were they smart to take Wilkins instead of Dwayne Haskins? All of that kind of stuff. The only deal is, and, you know, take this for what it's worth, everybody is off to a slow start. And so that's kind of, you know, Wilkins and Dieter, and I guess Preston Williams is not off to a slow start. But, yeah, it's hard to judge right now. I think, you know, look, some of these guys are going to end up having a good year. You know, some of these guys that they acquired, some of these guys that they drafted, it's just hard to tell right now, because nobody has gotten off to a hot four-game start or even played well for three out of these first four games. But I agree with you 100%. This season is all about player development. That's what this season is about. And even if, you know, whatever, even if 30 of these guys aren't on the team for the next 2 years, that's okay. It's really, who did you find?
Right.
Because you're really not trying to win this year. You're taking a look at players. You're taking a look at really even coaches, right? I mean, Pat
yeah.
Flaherty didn't make it very far.
It's an evaluation. It's an evaluation.
Correct.
Yeah,
you're
finding out which one of these guys are foundational pieces from here on out. That's all you're trying to do. That's why it's not tanking, because, see, people think they can win this week. So if they're trying to win, clearly they're not tanking. If they're trying to coach players up from week to week and trying to find the right combinations and the right people to start, then they're not tanking. So if you're coaching and trying to improve your players, you're clearly not tanking. You're working with what you have, and unfortunately you don't have a lot. That's why you run out of gas in the second half, because you just don't have the talent.
I think, yes, that's true. That's true. I think the tank job was done before the season. I think what I always say is the tank job was done by the front office and in the offseason, right? That was getting rid of Tannehill and Cam Wake and Robert Quinn and all those guys. Once you got into the season, you're trying to win. You're trying to coach these guys up. You're game planning. You're not just going out there on a Thursday and telling the guys to, you know, go to the beach. We're not going to practice today. You're coaching these guys up hard because everybody's job is on the line. But I think the tank job was, look, you're taking a bunch of guys who, let's face it, 30 or 35 of these guys are not NFL caliber. And GM Chris Greer knew it, and Marvin Allen knew it, and Reggie McKenzie knew it, and Steve Ross knew it. But they're willing to accept that. But yeah, there was a tank job going, but the second they stepped on the field for training camp, the tank job stopped, and you're coaching them up, and you're trying to win games. You just don't have enough talent to win games, and that's why you've been shut out 81-0 in the second half. That has zero to do with halftime adjustments. Look, Joe Philbin's teams, quite often, they were some of the top-scoring third-quarter teams in the NFL. That doesn't mean Joe was a great coach or Joe made great halftime adjustments. That's just the way it was. This team just does not have the talent to win. They are coaching them hard. The guys are practicing hard. But that, to me, that's where that tank job becomes apparent. You didn't give yourself NFL-caliber players, and we know why, because you're trying to clean up the salary cap and
right,
all
you
that
can't.
Kind of stuff.
You
but
can't.
Yes,
you can't
yes,
get
there,
any, you, I, you cannot get yes. NFL. Once you cleared out all those guys, you had the cap issues that you could not replace them because the system does not allow you, like real life allows you to cut this CEO, hire another one for the same salary. You can do that in real life. That's why to you guys, some of you guys, you call it tanking. I call it what they've needed for many years. I had a term on radio for many years for the Dolphins, what they needed to do. It was two words. It starts with an O, and the other word starts with an E. For many years, I said they needed an organizational enema. That's exactly what they did. That's what they needed.
No,
This is what they need. They needed to clear out all the bad salaries. I thought that was genius and gutsy on his part because he was going to take heat, but at the same time, he was going to take a huge cap hit in just 1 year and then turn it around. That way he had all that cap space. To me, that's the right thing to do. What are you going to do? Cut one or two guys every year and then slowly but surely try to turn it around? That's it. That's a slow kill that is almost impossible. This way is a way that you can turn it around quickly, load up with a bunch of picks, and if you hit on them, man, you can be good really quickly here. In 3-4 years, you could be covering a playoff team, Perk.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I think that's very possible that I'm doing that. And as a matter of fact, I probably should be covering a playoff team in 3 or 4 years.
Yes, you will.
Given the draft picks and given the money. Look, you can call it what you want, whether you never use the term tank and you just call it a rebuild, or whether you call it a tank/rebuild or whatever. But they're getting their house in order, and they prepare themselves to do it in relatively quick fashion. And look, we knew that they knew that they were not going to win this year, because that was part of the explanation that Steve Ross gave with Adam Gase's firing, that Adam Gase wants to win now. And whatever you want to say about Adam Gase, I thought that showed that Steve Ross knew that this was going to be a sacrificial season, that you had to, you've got to lose in order to win again. And that's whatever you want to, if you want to use the tank word or the rebuild word or whatever, you had to lose in order to win again. And that's what we're seeing.
By the way, are you negotiating with the Athletic to cover the draft in Vegas, or are you stuck in Davey with sandwiches?
I'm stuck in Davey. Hey, I you know I follow you on Twitter. I know you're organizing that big Vegas
oh,
party,
baby.
Man.
Oh, we got.
I wish I could be out there, but you know,
we got a bar, dude.
Dude,
we got a bar.
From Chris Greer to Marvin Allen to Brian Flores. So I'm going to be here in stuck in Davey with sandwiches, Big O.
I'll be in Vegas, baby, with a couple hundred Dolphin fans in a bar that we are going to be dominating. It's a Dolphin bar called Tommy Rockers, and so we're gonna do audio and video out there. We got a hotel we're setting up with a couple hundred rooms that Dolphin fans are signing up for. We are gonna own it. I already checked it out. Foreigner's already out there. We're gonna see Foreigner on the Tuesday night before the draft starts. So I've already got a concert planned out, because they don't have a lot of concerts set up yet from now to April. But I do know Foreigner's there, so I'll be having a little fun with that, or shall I say Bill will be having fun with that, of course.
Yes, sir.
we got the Vegas trip set up already as it is. All right, so this week, what are you doing in the Athletic? Are you picking the boys to win, or are you picking them to lose this week? How you going? Because Washington clearly has more talent. Okay, I mean, that there's no doubt in my mind. They actually have a nice defense, man. I like their defense. They got some talent on that defense, but they're unorganized. We'll see if Bill Callahan calls them the dumbest team in America, like he did to his Raiders years ago. What do you think happens on Sunday?
Boy, Big O, I think it's going to be a close game. We don't make official picks. I picked the Dolphins to cover against the Chargers, and they didn't do it. I think I would probably pick the Dolphins to win this week, because I don't trust Washington on the road, and that's the big thing. Now, look, we know that Callahan loves to run that ball, right? So they're going to get a steady dose of the run. The Dolphins struggle to stop the run, so you know, if Adrian Peterson or whoever gets hot running that ball, the Dolphins are going to have a hard time. But I think, you know, if I had to make a pick, and I know it's late in the week, it's Thursday, I'll ride with the Dolphins. I'll just say it. I'm riding with the Dolphins this week. And Dolphins fans, don't get mad at me. Make whatever you want to make out of it. But I'm going to ride with the Dolphins this week to get a narrow victory.
And here's what I want to – here's the test also, because I'm comparing. One, in Davey, this coaching staff with the least amount of talent in the league has gotten better every single week. Would you argue that? No, right? You can't argue that, right?
No. Yeah, they've improved. They have definitely improved.
Right, because offense and defense didn't show up the first 2 weeks. The third week, the defense showed up into the third quarter against Dallas. The fourth week, the offense and defense showed up for an entire half. So that's progress in my eyes. They're getting a little better, right? So, and I've watched Manny Diaz screw it up twice with 2 weeks to go to prepare for a team. He has come out unready for his team, and his team has gotten worse and worse and worse as the season's gone on. I want to see what Flores does with 2 weeks of preparation for a Redskins team that is struggling. I'm really intrigued to see how they handle this, because if it goes the way the last 4 weeks have gone, we should actually see a half-decent outing this week from the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I hope for the Dolphins to win. The Dolphins' talent gap there's such a big talent gap between, you know, them and the next least talented team in the NFL that it's going to be tough for them. I think the best way for them to win is to have a couple of guys get really hot, and I don't care what position, whether it's Xavien Howard and Josh Rosen or whoever, you know, Charles Harris, who, you know, he'll never get hot, but you know what I'm saying. If they can get a couple of guys to get hot and everybody else can do their job, then I think that's the best formula. I just don't think that it's realistic for the Dolphins, for anybody to think, the Dolphins, you know, maybe they could score 30 points this week, or maybe they could score 4 touchdowns. They don't have the skill. They probably at this point need to win a low-scoring game, and somebody, whether somebody rushes for 150 yards or has 3 interceptions or 3 sacks or goes for 4 touchdowns, or, you know, somebody grades out at 100%, you know, at left tackle or whatever. I think it would be more of an individual led victory than a team led victory. But whatever, as long as you see some signs of improvement both from the players and from the coaches, you will take it. Right? That's what I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, Perk, we'll wrap it up with this. Chris Perkins from The Athletic covers the Dolphins on a daily basis. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Perk. I believe this will be successful. 3-4 years from now, I love what Chris Greer did. I think he's got guts, plus adding McKenzie and Allen to the scouting staff. I really think these guys are going to hit a lot of picks down the line here, and the Dolphins are going to turn things around. How many teams do you think in the next 4 years try to do what the Dolphins are doing right now?
I think it's going to depend on how successful Cleveland and Miami are at doing this, because they're both kind of trying to do the same thing. I think Cleveland probably accelerated the process a little bit more by trading for OBJ and Olivier Vernon and then trading for Jarvis Landry. But from the standpoint of where, you know, Cleveland took Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett, you know, I think that these somewhere in between, if both of these teams are reasonably successful, you'll see some teams emulate this model. But the one issue that I will take with you on the Dolphins is the length of time, 3 or 4 years. Steve Ross's stated goal is to win a Super Bowl and sustain winning. 3 or 4 years, that's too soon. Nobody's going to literally hold him to that. But
I don't think Super Bowl, by the way, for the record. Wait, Perk, for the record, 3-4 years, I think, is playoffs, not Super Bowl. I think they get back to respectability in 3 to 4 years from now. That's what I think.
Yes, that's exactly what I was alluding to right there. You know, it depends on what you call, success of the rebuild, because if all you do is get to the playoffs and you never threaten to get to a Super Bowl, I don't know how successful that really makes this whole process, but you know, we'll see. We'll see, because it's like if Cleveland never gets to a Super Bowl, is their rebuild successful? If they go to the playoffs 3 straight years and, you know, they make 1 AFC championship game, is that success?
Perk. You are talking about the Browns. If they make the playoffs for 3 straight years and make it to an AFC championship game, my man, this is a team that's had nothing to. I mean, they look like the guy from, History of the World Part 1. I got nothing for sale. If they make it to to the playoffs, that would be an incredible accomplishment for the Browns. Yeah, come on,
okay,
man.
It would, but is that success? Is that worth going 1-31?
You have changed your culture. You're winning now. You're in the playoffs, Perk. You have changed. If you've gone to the playoffs several times, now if you tell me once and then you never go back again and it was a pure aberration, then I'm with you. But the way you said it, multiple playoffs and an AFC championship game, that then you have changed your culture on. It doesn't mean that you have to win the Super Bowl. Well, then you got to get the right coach in order to get you the Super Bowl. But if you're making the playoffs every year, then that means you've provided whatever coaching staff you have enough talent, at least.
Yeah, well, I see that, and that's what I say. It's in the eye of the whole. I mean, I don't know that anybody would say that Cincinnati was successful, right, with five straight playoff appearances and no playoff victory, but, it's a sliding scale. It depends on, and again, I'm not going to hold Steve Ross to we must win a Super Bowl, but I think the sustained winning, and you have to come up with your definition of sustained winning, but
I got an example for you. I got an example for you. I got it. Wait a minute.
Basically zero, and so we'll see, Big O. We'll see. To me, it's what is your end game, and how many years do you think it's going to take you to get there? And to me, that will be the ultimate judge of whether this was successful and whether other teams will feel it's worth emulating.
Well, listen, here's the example I would give you. If the Browns are making the playoffs, like you said, a couple years in a row in an AFC championship game, then it's been very successful because it's completely different than what you were, that you never made the playoffs and you were always a disaster. At least you're winning and you're in the playoffs. Here's the polar opposite of it in the same kind of fashion. The Miami Heat. People are all excited about Jimmy Butler. And I'm like, okay, it's nice, but you're a 7 or 8 seed. You're Pat Riley. You're championship and parade down Biscayne. You have set a standard of championships. Being a 7 or 8 seed, I'm not impressed. It's nice. The Heat will be more entertaining this year. It's all well and good, but it's still beneath you because you're the Miami Heat. For the Browns, making the playoffs multiple times, that's a hell of an accomplishment. For the Miami Heat, making the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed, I'm not impressed. Why? Because you've given me more. You have set a higher standard. So I look at the Browns differently than I would look at the Heat with the same kind of accomplishments.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Look, I think that ultimately you have to define kind of what is your goal here. When can you say that we have come close to crossing the finish line or have crossed the finish line like that? You know, success is different things to different people, and so, look, if you're a Dolphins fan, come up with your definition of success for this rebuild over a stretch of 3 or 4 years. What do you want to see from this team, whether it's get to a Super Bowl or 2 AFC championship games in a 4-year span or whatever? I think you've got to define success and how long it's going to take, and that's kind of how you judge whether this thing is successful and whether other teams will emulate it. Because, look, if you eventually win a Super Bowl, but it takes you 8 years and you aren't even using that first wave of players, I don't know if that's worth emulating, right? So that's what I mean. You've got to define your end game and then, how long it takes you to get there. Obviously, if you win a Super Bowl in 5 years, then yes, you're going to see teams, copy your model. But if all you do is get to a couple of wild card playoff games and you never win one, I don't think you'll see anybody tear it down to this extreme to build it back up.
You got it. All right, follow him on Twitter at Chris Perk. Check out that story on Josh Rosen he wrote. And, of course, catch his terrific work at The Athletic. It's a joke. You can subscribe to it every single month and get the coverage from all your teams locally and nationally for like $4, which is just ridiculous. Perk, as always, you're a stud. Thank you for taking some time, my man. I appreciate it.
Dude, anytime, Big O. You know I enjoy what you do, man. Take care.
Thank you, my brother.